The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's racing on this edition, and you can hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2:05 p.m. with Mick Norton, John Budden and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Aaron Newton Abbott in the afternoon, Pontefract and Windsor in the evening, and there's also racing in Ireland on Monday evening as well, a card in Roscommon. So five meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. A nice note to start the podcast on, Mick. We've got a new superstar after Australia's impressive Derby success. He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think it was an excellent performance, probably the best in recent times, along with Steve the Stars and et al. He smashed the standard time, didn't he, thanks to a really furious pace, which, again, I think adds to the performance of the runner-up as well. Take nothing away from him from stall two. Mm. He's run a mighty race in the van the whole time, and he's got St. Ledger winner written all over him, hasn't he, Kingston Hill? But, yeah, Australia does it so well, doesn't he? And, he just lived up to all the expectations and travelled supreme. It was almost like I'm watching a rerun of the Oaks, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, just always in the perfect position, always travelling, came there, had to battle, didn't he? Not quite as easy as Tegruda, but he had to battle. Sure, he's not just a pretty face. The best thing about Australia, Mark, is that he's not defending an unbeaten record.
Yeah, so he's, there's not that circus to go
exactly
with it.
That we had with Camelot, etc. He's been there and got beaten, so it doesn't really matter. I think they'll drop him back to 10 furlongs now. Follow the See the Stars route. He eclipsed Judmont and then a crack at the arc. I think that's the way they'll go with him. I mean, they're still determining that, but yeah. I'd be amazed with his natural speed if he doesn't do that.
Yeah, we went 4-1 for him in the arc straight after the race, by the way, if anybody wants to get on that now. Before the race, Aidan O'Brien had said that he's the best he's ever had, which is quite a bullish statement from Ballydoyle, but he's proved to be at least up there, isn't he?
I've had that confirmed that at home he does 11-second furlong fractions on the bridle in his homework.
Yeah.
Well, that's July Cup Nunthorpe pace.
Yeah.
And he's doing it in his homework and he's on the bridle. And he's a man that ought to get to man that. He's a freak. He's another freak.
He is, yeah.
They come along every so often and he's one.
Okay, so exciting to see Camelot. And I think from the Guineas and the Oaks and the Derby that we've seen this year, we've got a good crop of 3-year-olds this
Brilliant.
Year,
haven't we? And I can't wait to see them batter the older horses into submission when they start with that weight for age allowance from early July and bring it on.
Yeah, exciting times
Just
ahead.
A word for the second, again, keep barking on about Kingston Hill, but what a year Master Craftsman's having, isn't he?
And, yes.
You know, that was a great result for him. And the Guineas, what can you say about the Guineas? The last three Colts Classics have all gone to horses from out of the Guineas.
Yeah, it's working out really well, isn't it?
Just unbelievable form.
Yeah. We haven't mentioned Romsdal as well. He finished third. Good decision to supplement him in the end, and he's run a good race, hasn't he?
He has, because they were bemoaning the fact that his work company has got turned over a short Southwell on Monday or something like that, and
yeah.
That was just rocking their confidence a bit. But he's fulfilled their decision to supplement here, hasn't he? And Arrod held up the Dante form as well,
yeah.
Didn't he? So I think it was a very satisfactory race all round. And didn't seem to be too many hard luck stories. Orchestra never got into the race. He was very keen early on. He got hampered. He was climbing over horses. I think you can put the line through his run. Eben Oren patently didn't stay. Fascinating Rock just ran flat. True story. I think he needs it like the road. True story if we're going to see the best of him. But the Derby will throw up winners. There's plenty of horses going to come out of the Derby and win races.
Yeah, and we'll probably see two of them take each other on in the ledger, Kingston Hill and Romsdal. Connections of both of them seem to be looking towards that race. And congratulations to Aidan O'Brien as well, the first trainer to win 3 Derbies in a row, which is some feat, isn't it?
Absolutely tremendous. And to do it in the style that he did it, smashing the clock broke standard quite comfortably. He had to have a couple of smacks behind the saddle, but I mean, that's, you know, great. That's great stuff. I mean, he's a proper horse. He was taken on Group 1 Racing Post Trophy winner in Kingston Hill. Proper horse in his own right, and it was a good derby won by a good horse.
Yeah, some new superstars born there then. We've got an old one in the winner's enclosure as well at Epsom on Saturday. Cyrus de Zegler winning the Coronation Cup. It's good to see him. I mean, I thought, when I looked at the prices, I thought 10 to 11 was a good price, and he proved it.
Well, especially when his main form rival was coming back from such a long absence. Flintshire, he probably would have preferred it to have stayed, that rain to have stayed away. All his best form's been on faster ground, hasn't he? And it was a good performance. Obviously, Farber wouldn't attempt Flintshire. He didn't think he had him pretty straight, and he's run a mighty race in second. Good run by Ambivalent. When she goes back for the Pretty Polly that she won last year, she's going to take some beating. It was a satisfactory Coronation Cup. The only slight downturn was the fact that he pulled up a bit sore, Cyrus de Zegler, but I do understand he's back home in his Shanty stables, and he'll be getting the best veterinary care, I'm sure.
Yeah, Christophe Soumillon jumped off pretty sharpish, thinking there might have been something wrong with him. He did walk into the winner's enclosure on his own, and they've sent him back home. He's going to be reassessed, but the noises are hopefully quite encouraging, so that's good news.
Great stuff.
Right, anything else stand out to you over the weekend, Mick, or shall we move on to Monday's racing?
Yeah, well, we just touch on the Oaks. I was just saying Australia's performance also was a carbon copy of the Oaks, wasn't it? Great to see Paul Rudd, his first Group 1 winner for Hamdan Al-Maktoum, who's first classic winner for Hamdan Al-Maktoum, and it was a great result for Hamdan, wasn't it, having the 1-2, and thank goodness. And yeah, so no, that was great to see, great for Paul, and it was just a really good result. She's a lovely filly, isn't she? Travelled like a dream throughout the race, and I think she wants to be avoiding some of those pesky colts as much as she can, but maybe have a crack at them in the arc when she gets the fillies allowance, because you know what a great record the fillies have got in the arc.
Yes, yeah, last year's winner Trave, of course.
Absolutely.
That's one thing, they get plenty of weight in the arc, don't they, the
yes,
fillies?
So. Yes, exactly, and they make it count, don't they? The top class ones make it pay.
Yeah. Good stuff. A couple of very entertaining classics then. Unfortunately, no classics on Monday, but we've got some good racing to look ahead to.
We have.
Yeah, and we'll get mixed thoughts on the racing at Pontefract in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Monday's racing. Mick's picked out three at Pontefract for us. But before we get stuck into those, Mick, just an honourable mention of your effort on the podcast last time, because you not only tipped three horses, you tipped three winners, which is it was a nice price one as well, wasn't it? 135-1 treble or something
like that, and we didn't put him, we didn't do the race on the day because there weren't enough runners, but I thought the best thing of the day fell over the line by the shortest of short heads. That is the spirit. So yeah, it was a day to remember, Friday, Oaks Day.
Yes, a good day had by all, and let's hopefully replicate that on Monday. And
Ponte Carlo's a hard act to follow, isn't it?
It is, yes. The first race that Mick's picked out is the 7:40. We start with a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs and 8 of them in the lineup, so we might have a nice each way shape to the race. Mick, what do you like here?
Yeah, I like the top one, the Hooded Claw, who he needs a career best after that win last time that's taken him up £7 to 87, but he's still on the upgrade, this horse. He's got a good draw, and interesting fact about this horse, he's unbeaten both times that he's raced around a bend. He's won at Chester and Catterick round a bend, which is interesting, isn't it? And he won his maiden at Catterick in heavy ground, and that was a good performance at Chester. I think he was worthy of that £7 rise, and he's proven in Class 3 as well, which is important. Quite a few of his rivals aren't. So I think the Hooded Claw is going to take some beating. New bidder, he's... you forget that run at York. I mean, he was going for the hat-trick that day, but both times he's run over 7 furlongs, he's disappointed, and that was the trip. It was the trip that's to blame. I mean, it's a hot race. It was won by that is the spirit, and but both of his tries at 7 have been bitter disappointments. He's a dual Class 3 winner, he's a 2 times course and distance winner, and he will bounce back, new bidder. He's too good a horse not to. and he rates a danger to Hooded Claw back at a track he likes. Sarkhan's interesting going forward, does look handicapped on his Irish two-year-old form with Kevin Prendergast last spring. That mark of 80 doesn't look a gimme after that Southwell maiden win. But it's an interesting and lightly raced improver. Naggers has hit form and he's coming here for his handicap debut of 75. Conor Beasley taking off three. But it is a warm class three this for his handicap debut. But he will be there or thereabouts. And the other one is Jager Train from the Carl Burke Yard with Joey Haynes taking off five. Continues to impress young Joey Haynes. And that wasn't a bad effort at Doncaster last time we saw him. And he'll be there or thereabouts. But I think the top two will proven in this grid will dominate the race. And Hooded Claw gets the vote.
OK, the Hooded Claw then for Mick. In the 7:40, the 8:10 is the next race we're going to look at. A class four handicap over a mile and a quarter. Again, eight of them in the lineup here, Mick. Which ones do you like in this?
Go down these in race card order this time. Shankly, Harry Bentley riding for Qatar in the Qatar colours for Clive Cox. Won his maiden at Salisbury last back end, straight into grade one, group one, I should say, after that. Running the Grand Criterium a couple of months later in France. Found that company too hot to handle, unsurprisingly. He made his comeback 59 days ago, ran far too free, with no chance of getting home the way he was so keen in the early part of the race. They've put the hot on to try and calm him down. And, you know, if he's as good as they think he is, that opening mark of 77 is a gimme. But is he? We don't know yet. The one I like is Elbow. John Quinn trains Philip Makin taking the ride. He finished off last season on a roll, this horse, and he showed improving form at two, finishing runner-up three times before winning in the mud at Ayr. That's where he broke his maiden last October. And I think this mark of 76 gives him a good launch pad for his three-year-old season. And I got the thumbs up off Ollie Pimlott that he's ready to rock and roll this horse. And he looks very well handicapped for a horse on the up to me off 76. A couple of others to mention. Scirocco Passion, a daughter of Scirocco, trained by Tony Coyle. She had a very solid first season, including a good effort here on her final start. That was over a mile. She's getting back to a fair mark if she can find her two-year-old form. Hasn't been evident in both of those starts this season, but she will come back to it at some stage. And the other one is Newgate Queen, a last time out winner. That was in the mud at Doncaster 4 weeks ago. £5 she's gone up for that, which takes a mark into the 60s, helped by Conor Beasley's £3. But into the 60s and up in grey demands that improvement that she's been showing has to be maintained. So she'll be there or thereabouts, but I just like the chances of Elbow, and especially getting the thumbs up from Ollie Pimlott as to his well-being. That did it for me.
OK, Elbow to make a winning reappearance then in the 8:10, and the 8:40 is the final race we're going to look at. A class 5 handicap over 6 furlongs, 14 of them in the lineup for this one. So quite a competitive sprint to finish with here, Mick.
It has, hasn't it? Might be just taking a bit of a flyer on one here. A is out of form, B has got a bad draw, but I do still think that there's more to come from him, and that's Barron Run. He's back to his last winning mark, and being a dual Hamilton winner, I think this track should suit him, Pontefract. And those form figures aren't impressive, but they are better than they just look at face value. He does appear to be running into form. And with the very capable Joey Haynes taking off the £5, and won't be easy from 10, but I think he's too well handicapped to ignore, and he might go off at a decent price as well. Others to consider: the old boy Mission Impossible. He makes a quick reappearance. He's running himself into form. He was only just touched off at Catterick the other day when finishing second of 12 in a very competitively run race won by Caddo Pearl, and no surprise that they're going back to the well quickly before the handicapper had a chance to reassess him on that. So he's a player from stall 5. Red Cobra should be all the better for that seasonal reappearance. It was a good one as well at Carlisle, and up in trip to 6, which is the trip that he won over, will help. And I think he's the danger to Baron run. He's got decent place form from this mark, and that was a very eye-catching seasonal appearance. So I'll just take Baron run to beat Red Cobra in the 8:40.
Okay, Baron run to beat Red Cobra there. Then let's just have a summary, Mick, as always, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
In the 7:40, the Mr. Wolf sprint handicap. I like the look of the top one, the Hooded Claw. In the 8:10, I'm hoping Elbow can make a winning reappearance at the start of his three-year-old season for John Quinn and Philip Making. And in the 8:40, Baron Run looks as though he's poised to strike, having got back to his last winning mark.
OK, good work. Thank you very much, Mick.
Cheers, Matt.
Enjoy it on Monday.
I will do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Monday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 2:05pm with Mick in the studio. He's joined by John Budden and Darren Owen. We have Aaron Newton Abbott in the afternoon, Pontefract, Windsor and Roscommon in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.